morning, we're going to get into the Word of God. And we've been doing a series on how to walk by faith. It's been, you can catch up with that if you haven't heard the messages. A very important and a very powerful time. I've heard lots of testimonies of how people's understanding of how faith works has impacted their lives in a fresh way. And many of us who've been walking by faith for years, me included, I've had an upgrade. And Jesus said, everything is possible for him who believes. Think about that. Everything is possible. Whatever you're facing and whatever is happening, everything is possible for him who believes. So faith is a really important ingredient, both in our relationship with God, but also to see God work through our lives. Galatians chapter 5, let's begin here. And we're just going to go on a bit of a journey with the Word, instructing us, teaching us, because it's really important we understand how faith works. And this scripture, to us, seems a bit silly, you know, because we're not Jews. But in Christ Jesus, Jesus actually broke down the wall of separation between the old covenant people, which are the nation of Israel, Jews, and the new covenant, and makes us one in Christ. He makes us one. And so it's basically, it's not what you do in terms of whether you do this part or that part. It's only through faith in Jesus and faith working through love. The only thing that counts is faith working through love. Another word says, your faith won't work and be effective unless it's through love. So we see that one of the things we need to understand about faith working is that it only works when love is present. If I have a kettle, which I do at home, and I have a goal to boil the kettle to make myself a nice cup of tea, I know that if I put the plug in the wall, there is a source of power there. And that's what faith does. It connects us with the Lord and his power. But then there is, and I'm not an electrician, as the electricians in the room will know, the electrons, they have to have a conductor through which the source of power is able to transmit the electrodes through that wire to accomplish the work of heating my kettle, boiling the water. If the wire was removed or cut, then the power that is there will not work. And that's how, if we could see that as an illustration, faith works through, like power works through the wire, faith works through love. Faith won't work, you'll break the wire, you'll remove the wire, if there isn't love present. So you won't be able to get the job done that you want doing with your faith, and that Jesus actually wants to do, if you are not understanding that love needs to be part of the equation with my faith. Now, one of the biggest aspects of love at work is forgiveness. It's the first thing that we're to believe when we receive Jesus Christ and understand that he died on the cross for us. He died for our sins. And he died to forgive us our sins. And we don't just know about it, we believe that we're God's forgiven people because we believe in Jesus. The only way to be forgiven our sins is to believe and receive what Jesus did for us on the cross. And we're a forgiven people. We even know Isaiah 53 says, the punishment that brought us peace was upon him, which means that he didn't just pay for our sins, he also took my punishment. Now that is huge. That when I die and I stand before God, which we all will, and because I'm in Christ, I won't be punished for sin. So when I stand there, I'll say, Jesus was my Savior and Lord on earth, in truth. And I can stand here and there won't be any punishment for me. That's a happy day to look forward to. So forgiveness of sins works because God so loved the world that he gave his only son to die for our sins and to forgive us and to remove the punishment that was ours. Now, if forgiveness is very much the essence of God's love, then we are to understand that your faith won't work in an unforgiving heart. Faith won't work in an unforgiving heart. You can believe everything, but like a kettle without a wire, that faith won't work, won't accomplish anything. And Jesus said on numerous occasions, didn't he? Luke 11, when he said, when you pray, he said, pray, forgive us our sins. What does it say? For we also forgive. So forgive us as we forgive. So Jesus always said that the Father, God, is always ready to forgive us our sins because of what Jesus has done. Every sin. It doesn't matter what you've done. God is the forgiver of all sin. But it is conditional as we forgive others their sin. He also said in Luke chapter 6 and verse 36, be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. To be merciful means to be kind, but it also means to not hold against someone something they deserve. So to not punish them for what they've done. To be merciful means not giving them what they deserve, as he has been merciful, not giving me what I deserve. Did you know I deserve hell? That's the punishment, eternal separation and torment forever. That's what I deserved. Have we got any believers in the room? Did you know we all deserved that? But Jesus said, be merciful as your Father. Now, when you become a Christian, it's called the new birth. You're born again. Jesus said, no one can enter the kingdom of heaven unless they are born again. Now, to be born again means the old you had to die. Now, it's not physical, it's spiritual. Before the new person can come alive. And that new person is a completely different person. The greatest miracle of all miracles has taken place. You have become a child of God and now have the nature of your heavenly Father. You see, the Christian life is not you being merciful without a new nature. The Christian life is having Christ in us, who is merciful, that we have the power to forgive others their sin without excuse. Just a little testimony, I'll go quick. But before I was a Christian, I moved to my family home as a younger person. And my mum was dying, and I moved home to get a job near home, but to take care of her. And towards the last few weeks, my dad would be away at work, and he would come home, but always go out. Whatever excuse he could make, he'd never stay in the house. And what began to build in me was a resentment that he wasn't there for her. As you can imagine, with a young person, I was absolutely starting to get offended and angry that as a husband, he wasn't there for his wife. He was doing the wrong thing, actually, but I understand now he was doing the only thing he could do is not face what was happening. But I had to face it. And it was a couple of years later when I became a Christian. And I knew peace with God through faith in Jesus. As soon as I received Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord, I knew I had a new power, a changed heart. And it was so powerful that I was like, well, of course I forgive my father. I didn't even have to be asked. The years of resentment that had built, it was nothing for me because I had a new nature, a divine nature, Christ in me. So a Christian is given the ability to be merciful. It's very important that we don't live just by doing something, but we recognize the Christ within us helps us to forgive. It was the greatest change of my life to become a forgiver. And it still is. It's one of the greatest signs that you're a Christian. Even more than walking, if you couldn't walk before. Because Jesus actually didn't come to die just for our sicknesses. He came to die ultimately for our sins. And by the way, not our excuses. Jesus didn't die for our excuses. He died for our sins. For things that we do wrong, say wrong, think wrong. In Mark 11, another teaching of Jesus. He's teaching on this. This is the brilliance of Jesus teaching on prayer. He starts with faith. Isn't that interesting? Before you pray, have faith. Have the faith that comes from God. Have faith in God. And then he says, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, and he's referring to problems, demonic powers, all things that need and he wants to move out of the way. Who says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, that's the faith heart, but believes those things he says, that's activating faith by speaking, those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whenever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them. So every prayer that you want God to answer and meet a need and do something for you, believe that you'll have them. Then he goes on to say, is there an and here? So this is connecting to mountain moving, prayer answering faith. So this is the same subject, and whenever you stand praying, and that's whenever. Good spot, bad spot, it doesn't matter what you're in, whenever you pray, if you have anything against, anything against anyone, forgive him that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses, your sins, the things you do wrong. How do you want to live constantly being forgiven? I want my Father to forgive me. But he says, I'm not gonna. Unless you forgive I will remain in an unforgiven state. And if faith works through love and therefore through a forgiving heart, that means no mountains will be moved, no prayers will be answered, and I'm out of kilter with God. My relationship with God isn't right. And so Jesus knows, that's why he talked about forgiveness so often to his disciples. In the New Testament, you read it again and again, that forgiveness is a big thing. And it's something that we need to know will block every blessing in our lives and our families and in the church, holding something against someone is an issue to your Father in heaven. It is of great concern to me that the Christian community in these days have been so influenced by the spirit of the world. There are more hot-headed Christians, angry Christians, critical Christians, online, sharing stuff, in families, moody. That moody is just a fruit of unforgiveness. It's anger gone inside. Moody just moves on in. And actually, the quietest people are often the moodiest. And moods are set to control atmospheres and others. And offense often is because we don't get our own way. I'm offended. I'm not getting my own way. And we're like the typical baby throwing the toy out the pram, saying, I don't like life. It's not working for me. But Jesus said, lay down your lives to love one another as I have loved you. Probably the most difficult people to live with are the bitter people. Very, very, very difficult. Critical, bitter. In fact, defiles many. Everybody under your influence, if you're a bitter person, you're bringing that negative, absolutely abhorrent atmosphere to your children, into your relationships, and it really matters to God. It's a bad witness to be an unforgiving person. Jesus is not glorified in resentment and offense. Peter, he comes to Jesus. And of course, we all love Peter because he's just like us. And he thinks, actually, he's the superior one in this conversation to all the other disciples. That's my interpretation. Because he comes to Jesus and he says, Lord, how many times must I forgive? And he actually gives Jesus the answer. Okay, so he thinks, my glass ceiling is higher than that lot. I'm a more forgiving person than anybody I'm around. And Jesus breaks the glass ceiling. I wonder what yours is. What's your glass ceiling? This far, no further. Some people say I'll never forgive them over my dead body. That's a terrible, 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 destructive to yourself thing to say. And Jesus answers us and says, no, no, I don't say to you 7 times. Oh, my giddy auntie. He says 70 times 7. He shatters every glass ceiling we have. And he says, basically, never stop forgiving. That's what he means. Never stop forgiving people what they do to hurt you, what they do to lie to you, lie about you, slander you, say things about you, do things, don't do what they should. Never stop forgiving. He's actually saying, church, listen. This will save your life and destiny. It'll save your future with God. Have a predetermined attitude to forgive. I'm preaching. Have a predetermined attitude set in your own heart. You can't do it for the person next to you. You can only do it for you. But if you want to save your life, see God move, then you will do what Jesus says. And by the way, you need help to misunderstand Jesus. It's so simple, you need help. And I think a lot of people have done a lot of counseling without just coming in with, well, forgive. For your sake, for your own health, for your own benefits in the kingdom, forgive. Predetermined attitude. What if they're not sorry? Pastor Andrew got it right. It's always yes. It always is yes. I fell out with British Gas 2 weeks ago. I mean, fell out. Can you fall out with a company? Okay. Has anybody ever fallen out with? Okay. So, I literally got so miffed with British Gas. And they did not do something they said they were going to do. And it cost me something. Personally, I had to pay for their not doing what they said they were going to do. And then, when they eventually called me, they made excuses. I call them lies. Excuses. And I just calmly, but slightly boiling on the inside, said, you're not right. You're not telling me the truth. You have completely failed to keep your word. Anyway, put the phone down. And then, you know, when I'm in my house, you wouldn't believe it, I walk up and down. I walk up and down to pray, but when I get a little bit itchy, a little bit annoyed, I start to pace. And I mean, British Gas, it's like the end. I mean, I'm so annoyed, like I'm doing this. I am so annoyed. Nobody here does that, do they? Nobody here does that. You never say, you never do what the pastor does, do you? I am so annoyed with them. And then the still small voice of the Holy Spirit says, forgive them. I mean, what we'd like to do is have at least 24 hours to rant. But the Holy Spirit in the moment, if you're sensitive, forgive. Or it's all going to get a whole lot worse for you. For your own sake, forgive. So I had to say, I forgive British Gas. Did I feel it? No. But forgiveness is a choice and not a feeling. Have a predetermined attitude to forgive. Now, if you're a driver, you'll have plenty of practice. Plenty. How many of you had practice forgiving whilst driving? Okay, so The thing is, what happens? Can I just unpack this for a bit? They make a mistake. Of course, you never do. But they make the mistake. They do wrong. They cut you up. And what happens is you start to build a bit of resentment towards that driver. And then as that builds, you want to retaliate. And retaliation moves into affecting the way you drive. So you become the problem on the roads when all you were doing is going to the shops. You arrive in such a rage. You look at the people in the shop who don't do what you want, move out of the way, you get trolley mad. Trolley rage. Can you see how somebody's fault can lead you? And our generation is going so far down the road, it's murder. It's rage on steroids. It's annoyance. It's an atmosphere in this nation that should not be in the Church of Jesus Christ. Isn't he amazing how he says, my people are different? Be merciful as your heavenly Father is merciful. And actually, to deal with it quickly, when somebody cuts me up and I get annoyed, I go out loud, I forgive you. Don't feel like it currently, but I do. And so what's happening is I am putting into practice my faith. Because a Christian doesn't just know about forgiveness. A Christian puts into practice the words of Jesus Christ. And that's faith working through love. You'll have plenty of opportunity with your family. And if you live with anybody, let me tell you, they'll have plenty of opportunity. I thought I'd put the shoe on the other foot. It's a practice. It's a predetermined attitude. You see, we can be infected. I think it's worse than COVID. Good people have lost their lives and destinies. They've lost marriages, their children, because they haven't understood actually. Unless we deal with the root, the heart of unforgiveness, we can't see the fruit of the Christ life. And we all want the fruit. But the Lord is saying, can I just take a heart check of my people today and say, what's going on in your heart? Because out of the heart flow all the issues of life. Now, is there a time when we should speak out? Yes, 1,000 times. Yes. But let's just look at this scripture. Ephesians 4 tells us how to. You see, we are to speak out against injustice. We're to speak out for the oppressed. We're to speak out for the abused. We're to speak out for people who are wrongly treated and hated because of their race or whatever it is. The Christian faith is a faith of love. But the way we speak should be completely different. This scripture says, be angry and don't sin. So there are times to be angry. And if you're not angry at some of the evil that happens to people, then you're not alive. The injustices, that happen. Anger is an emotion that I think in the right setting, when it's righteous anger, is very helpful to motivate you both to not sin, but to do something about it. Especially concerning other people's pain. And we all need wisdom to know what to do. But this says, be angry, but don't sin. And don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Now, this is such brilliant advice. Because I want to ask you the question, how many times has the sun gone down on your wrath against the government, a political party, a politician, a neighbour, a parent, a child, a husband, a wife, a pastor, a business leader, a work colleague, the hospital. It could be a bit like British Gas. The hospital let me down. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. And it goes on to say, nor give place to the devil. That means if you don't forgive and deal with what is wrong by first putting your heart right, you become part of the problem, like road rage. And you do what the world, they can only demonstrate in anger. But we can speak the truth in love. It's a different spirit behind what we're doing. Is this helping you? I wanted to help you to health this morning so that you can see the miracles that God's predestined for your life. Now, we all face constantly, I face situations where I need to forgive people. I think probably the worst thing that I face is people saying yes when they mean no. They don't keep their word. It shouldn't be happening in the Christian community. We should do what we say. But that's the ways of Jesus. But I also get really hurt when somebody I love or somebody in the church is being hurt. I can do my British Gas pace around my home at the injustice of sometimes what I hear. But then I have to be the answer to the problem, not add to the problem. So I have to forgive the person who's been treating somebody else so badly. Because I don't want the devil to take residence in my life and circumstance. A place means a location. Unforgiveness gives Satan a location, a right to influence your life. Demonic influence, I think, comes through terrible ways. It comes through drugs. It comes through sexual immorality. Demons easily come in that route. Gives place to the devil to wreck your life. But so does offense and unforgiveness. Unresolved anger issues. And we are a church that need to wise up to be the least offended people there are on earth. The most gracious and merciful and kind and forgiving people. Because we have been forgiven much. Somebody's clapping. Hang on a minute, there's a revival of the ways of God happening in the church. Now, all of us face minor things constantly, like the car, you know, driving. But some face major trauma. Rape, adultery, murder, or just negligence that has meant somebody has suffered terribly. And these are very, very difficult situations. And we need to apply grace to those who go through those things. Yes. And pray for them. But I have been amazed as a pastor that those who have found that kind of discipline, predetermined attitude really, that works all the time, that when a trauma happens, they're already disposed to say, I forgive, as I've been forgiven. They've trained, they've cultivated a heart of forgiveness. And what has amazed me as a pastor is that the depth of healing that can come through a forgiving heart is incredible, what God can do in the life of those people who've faced real trauma. They receive healing and comfort. And I'm not saying it's easy. For some of you, I'm not saying it's easy. But can I ask the question, do we think it was easy for Jesus to forgive us? Do you think he forgave out of comfort and everything's good? On the cross, one of the last sentences of Jesus Christ, as he was brutally, horrifically tortured and murdered and mocked and spat on and rejected and hated and taking the curse for our sin, in that state of suffering, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. So we recognize that even when we are in pain, we must do as he did and forgive. Recently, Charlie Kirk was murdered in front of his wife and children. They were there. If you don't know about that, you just need to know a godly man was murdered. There is nothing about it that's right. It's an injustice. It is the worst of the worst. And yet, at his memorial, Erica Kirk stood there and said, Jesus teaches us to forgive. In a very volatile, things could be like lit up like a bomb in the culture in America. But you know, the Christian culture snuffed out that spark and stopped riots and hate spreading when she said, I forgive you. And I also liked what she said, I will leave it to law enforcement to get the right justice. But I won't hold on. And I know the Holy Spirit began healing and comfort that day. And also brought the message of Jesus to the forefront of the church. Forgive as you have been forgiven. Now, the Lord told us that this was the message for this Sunday. We're seeing God move, but God has so much more to do. And it really matters in your life personally, in your family, but it matters in this church that we have no unforgiveness going on in our lives and hearts. I can't force you. God can't force you to forgive. But I can only say you'd be a fool not to when you read of the consequences of an unforgiving heart. In trauma and in life, when bad things happen, what is important is we get through those things the way Jesus said. We get through those things in the way Jesus said. And this is the way. You will get through everything bad that happens to you. He's offering healing, but his way. Now, I'm going to finish with this, and then we're going to pray together. Very serious this morning, but very happy about it. I know you know that we have an enemy called Satan. And he's constantly wanting us to hold on to offense. I would say he is like a master at getting us to reason why we are. There are so many reasons. He gives me more than I can think of as to why I should keep offended. I can think of many. And the thing is about that is that he holds you captive and is able to influence, to rob, to kill, and destroy your life. It's serious business, unforgiveness. It's so serious. And it's so serious in body life. Let me tell you, you won't be here in church long before somebody makes you like me with British Gas. But Jesus has only one word. Forgive as I have forgiven you. And this week I was watching the a documentary. Isn't TV rubbish? Mostly rubbish. And there's so little I can watch and keep holy. That's a word for somebody. There's so little I can watch. And I just wanted some downtime, rest. And I saw there was a program, a documentary on the Kalahari Desert in Africa. Oh, I thought, I'm from Africa, you see. I was born there. So I'm like, brilliant. Watched it. And this presenter was with a tribe, a hunting tribe in the Kalahari Desert. And they have this skill that has been handed down through the generations of how to make an arrow that will kill the prey. And first of all, they have this shaft, the arrowhead. And I watched them make it. And then they have this shaft. And immediately behind the arrowhead, they put a bit of poison. So that when they shoot the arrow, the pain that's caused from the arrowhead isn't what kills the animal. The poison kills the animal. And they find the poison deep under a particular plant. And they go looking for this. It was fascinating. This tiny beetle about that size. And in size, one drop would kill you. Just one drop of this poison. Think about the size of a beetle in comparison to a wildebeest. Doesn't look like a big issue, does it? And they get this beetle, and they have to be really careful, and they pop it just behind the arrowhead. They go out hunting, like the enemy does with us. Uses people to hurt us, words to hurt us, situations to cause offense. Some things really penetrate deep. But you know, if the arrow drops out, the animal survives. But if it doesn't, the poison goes in behind the arrowhead and begins to work through the veins. And its goal is the heart. And what happens is that animal dies, not because of the arrow, but because of the poison that was connected to the arrow. And so many Christians die spiritually, lose the life of the spirit, because not because of what happens to them, the arrows that go in, but the spirit of offense that so quickly comes behind it, that causes offense, resentment, moods, bitterness, criticism is such, it's speaking of a heart. A critical person has something going wrong. And this really showed me how the enemy goes hunting. And he wants to hurt us. Blessed are the persecuted, for theirs are the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said you would be persecuted for your faith. But you won't be blessed if you hold on to unforgiveness. And there is so much poison. It only takes a little bit of offense that can actually stop your heart working. A little tiny bit of anger holding on to fridging out the person, keeping them out in the cold. Well, let me tell you, if they're in the cold, you're in a freezer of about minus 50. You're dead and you don't even know it. There's something gone on the inside. And I'm not saying permanently dead. I'm just saying your life is put on stop, hold, because of unforgiveness. And so Jesus says, we finish with this scripture. It's a wonderful scripture. May we live this out from now on. How about this? Hey, church, how about this? Should we do this? I want to do this. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ. Not because it doesn't feel good when you have to, does it? But it does you good when you do. And the life of a Christian is a life of faith, not feeling. And if we want our faith to work through love, it has to be through a forgiving heart. Shall we stand? Have you heard the Lord? I have been so concerned. The spirit in which things are happening in our nation. Has anybody else here? The hate and the anger and the offense. It really, really concerns me that it's not coming in to the way we live as a church. Now, you might have just one person you've never forgiven. Or you might have a long list. But I wonder if we could just take, we're going to have communion in a minute, but we're going to do it being right with God. By forgiving others. We're not going to take. I advise you not to take communion if you're refusing to forgive somebody. Because it won't go well. You're doing it in the wrong manner. And I've kind of, before I came in, I've worked through everything. The government, politicians, I've worked through. Situations in my own family where I've had to forgive. People in the church. People who speak against me. People who mistreat me, I've had to forgive. It's what I do as a life. It's a predetermined attitude. And be quick to forgive. Don't wait till your little book's so full. Because what happens in those situations, you get a hard heart and then you don't care. You don't care that you're angry all the time. You don't care you're annoyed with everything. You don't care that you're the most moody person in the world to live with. That's a hard heart. Be tender-hearted, forgiving. So we're going to just pray. Some of you, as I said, it's more difficult than the minor issues. But you have heard a message that I believe will start healing and comfort this morning. So let's pray. If you'd like to sit, please do. Actually, do whatever and just say, Father, I forgive. Go through the people. Thank you, Lord. We want to practice mercy towards these people, just as you practice it daily with us. Every day, Lord, you're merciful. Your mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. You're a forgiving God. We thank you for the peace that comes from knowing we are forgiven. But Lord, I pray that we would fully and freely forgive others. I pray that I will. That no matter what, it's my attitude that is the same as Christ Jesus, who didn't treat me as my sins deserve. You freely forgave me. All the worst sins, all the little sins, all the things I didn't even know I did. You're a forgiving God. And it's all because of Jesus who paid the price. Thank you for this testimony from Erica Kirk that has spoken to millions and millions of people the ways of Jesus and the ways of healing. And I pray, Father, that we'd be a people of a different spirit, the Holy Spirit, that even when there's injustice, we will do it from a right heart. Even when we need to speak, we won't do it in anger and retaliation. But like you, we will speak the truth in love from a forgiving heart. I believe this morning that as we practice this, the poison is removed. The poison that offense and unforgiveness causes. And life starts flowing again. The power of the Spirit. The joy and peace of the Holy Spirit. Oh, we need him, church. We need his joy and his peace. And we need to do life his way. Father, as a church, we forgive all those who are critical and angry with us. We forgive those we don't agree with, knowing that we could actually be wrong too. We forgive in a spirit of humility because we need to find grace in your sight. Thank you that blood pressure in some will go down, that health will be restored to physical bodies. I thank you for the miracle working power of moving mountains being restored and answers to prayer just by simply putting into practice what Jesus taught.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.